James Corden?
You know James Corden.
Honestly, I know. I'm just trying to picture him.
Him you, not being him up, in this know. Musical is a win for theater kids everywhere.
Thank God.
It's yes. like, I don't know. They were like, okay, we're not putting James Corden, so I guess we have to let Lynn show face. Like a little bit.
I am 29 years old. I work at the Moondance Diner.
Check.
One sec.
Do we take reservations? No, we do not take. We're a diner.
I have an original rock musical.
Hey, boy genius.
That I have spent the last 8 years of my life writing.
He's getting out. You're going to be rich and famous.
And rewriting.
Did you crack it yet?
Oh, I'm getting so close. And rewriting.
Can I hear it?
Any day now.
8 years. And the time keeps ticking. Tick, tick.
You need to ask, are you letting yourself be led by fear or by love?
Fear! 100% fear!
Fear or love, baby, don't say the answer!
Actions speak louder than
louder, no matter what.
Louder than they speak louder, louder.
Keep going, okay?
Actions speak louder than.
Welcome to Show Me the Movies with Justin and Nick, a movie podcast hosted by lifelong cousins slash buddies that digs into movies that mean something to us and our guests. I'm Nick.
I'm Justin.
We have a guest with us. Who's our guest?
I'm Isabel.
Isabel Hunt.
Yay.
Which I actually don't think I've ever called you Isabel Hunt out loud. I think it's always been Boston.
I've also said it out loud very few times.
Yeah. So Isabel is here with us. What movie are we talking about?
We are talking about Tick, Tick, Boom.
I'm super excited to talk about Tick, Tick, Boom with Isabel.
I'm not that excited.
Justin,
I'll just say that.
Justin hadn't seen Tick, Tick, Boom until yesterday. Justin, give me a thumbs up, down, in the middle gauge.
For people, everyone who can't see it, I'm giving a thumbs up.
Okay, thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up. Amazing. I was very tired watching this movie, and my brain was accepting maybe 80% of what was happening.
Okay.
But I got the gist of it,
yeah.
And
yeah.
It's. I actually saw this online. Some people thought it was slightly confusing, especially with the one-man show.
Hmm.
Or not the one-man show, like yeah. the musical about a musical. So like when it would cut to him on stage on the
yeah.
piano. I don't think I realized what exactly that was until today when I was reading
sure.
up on the movie.
Yeah. It definitely helped watching it a second time because the first time, especially the amount of context you have for the theater and the Jonathan Larson of it all really helps going into it. So just a few things to start off. Directed by Lin-Manuel Miranda. Starring,
yeah. What?
Isabel making a gag noise. Justin,
for the viewers, I just threw up.
Do you have a take on Lin, Justin?
Wait, I'm just to be clear, Isabel, you don't like him, even though he made one of your favorite movies.
Listen, I saw a Letterboxd review last night that was like, the worst person you've ever known just made a great movie, and that's how I feel about this.
Wow. Okay.
And it'd be better if he didn't show his face, but we can get to that later.
We'll unpack Lin a little bit.
I don't have a strong opinion on him, really. I've not seen Hamilton. I know it's probably like a major sin in some people's eyes.
How dare you, Justin?
And other than that, I just feel like I've probably watched the movies he's made songs for. That's about it.
I love that your family, your parents just watched Hamilton for the first time live in London. There's just a sense of irony there.
Whoa.
They loved it. So just some of the cast members right off the bat. Andrew Garfield as Jonathan Larson. Alexandra Shipp as Susan Wilson. Jonathan Henry as Roger Bart. Robin DeJesus as Michael. Vanessa Hudgens as Carissa Johnson.
That was a surprise casting when she showed up on screen.
Love to see it. And Bradley Whitford as Stephen Sondheim. Am I missing anyone really important that comes to mind?
Lin-Manuel Miranda as Line Chef.
Yeah.
Yeah, Line Chef.
Big chef energy.
He's like, you got to get these damn eggs. So plot synopsis. Real life playwright Jonathan Larson navigates love, the creative process, and the scourge of the AIDS crisis on his friends as he puts the final touches on what he hopes to be his first Broadway show. Anything to add to that?
I will add, dude needs to make a song for his play and get his personal life in order. Yeah. I guess I should say musical, not play. But yes, that's fine.
That's fair. Sure. That's the conflict, yeah.
Isabel, you are our third theater kid this week that we've talked to. We talked to Abby on Monday.
We're 3 for 3. Perfect week.
Talked to your husband, Bailey, yesterday, and you today. I'm really excited because this is our first like musical theater adjacent even movie that we are really talking about. And so I'm interested to hear your thoughts with your experience with musical theater as well, and just what this movie means to you. So box office released in limited. So it was on a few screens. You didn't see it in theaters, did you?
No, I watched it on Netflix.
So it was released November 21st, 2021. It was released on Netflix November 19th, 2021. So it was released on Netflix before it was on like a few theater screens. The budget was about $55 million. Any idea on how much it grossed?
Wait, how much was the budget?
$55 million.
And it was like limited release?
I'll give you a hint and say very limited release.
I think it only played for one weekend.
Oh.
So I'm going to say 30.
Okay, Justin.
I was going to go way lower. I'm going to say like $5 million.
It grossed about $112,777.
So Isabel was so helpful.
I was, and let me say, I just said 30, so I actually meant 30,000.
30,000, way closer.
Yeah,
no,
switched up in her head.
30 million.
Also, if you said $30, you still would have been a lot closer.
Ooh, that's so painful.
True.
So it's one of those, I think, correct me if you guys think of any others, but this is one of the last like Netflix prestige movies that I can think of, because the Netflix has done like, for a while, they did like The Irishman. They did Roma, which I have not seen, but I've heard good things about. They did this movie, like a movie that they throw a lot of money at that doesn't get a full theatrical release. The Killer is another one, Fincher and Mank. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it seems like those have gotten less and less in current years.
The Killer was like 2023.
Yeah, so a few years
ago. So that's like a prestige movie.
Well, when was like Don't Look Up and White Noise? Did those also go in the movie theater? I think White Noise might have.
White Noise, I saw in the movie theater with Bailey. Were you there with us?
You know,
might have been. I don't know.
I'd believe you if you said I was, but I have no idea.
I definitely saw.
Actually,
that one
didn't
in
even
the
know
theater.
This movie existed.
White Noise.
Yeah,
it's. I thought it was all right.
Yeah, that's for another episode.
Yeah. Well, we'll just jump into it, Isabel, because I'm really excited to hear. We're going to talk about what to you is true about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you texted us that you think about this movie every day.
Just about.
And I asked you what you meant by that, and you said, I'm saving it for the pod. So the time is now. So what about this movie makes you think about it every day? And this is a very broad question. What to you resonates as true in any sort of way?
Yeah, I think I'll qualify my statement before getting into it, that I think about it every day in the season of life I'm in right now.
Okay.
I really love what it says about the creative process, specifically, and maybe this is a spoiler, after Jonathan Larson's play Superbia, which he's been working on a lot, goes to workshop and no producers pick it up for Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets the call from Rosa, his agent, and he's like, but Rosa, what do I do now? And she just says, you just got to write the next one.
Yeah.
And that scene did not stand out to me the first time I saw it. It actually took my former boss when I worked for a design company. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this movie that just came out. And she was like, yeah, that's so true for me as an artist and designer, is that so often my creative projects aren't successful in the way I envision. But when I continue to just do the next one and create the next thing, eventually I find that something sticks. And for me, I am a creative person, but I don't actively create.
Well, you do sometimes. You created the logo for the show.
So oh, yeah.
So true.
And it was a lot better than the one that Justin and I had. That one was butt cheeks.
But you know what? It inspired the one now. So I am not a creative and that it's my job to like create visual art. It's not my job to like write a musical like in the movie. But I'm a person that works in academia and the research around that and like composing research articles and most recently applying to grad school.
Yeah.
And so this movie came out in the fall of 2021 when I was applying to grad school for the first time. Keyword, first time. Because 6 months later, I would face one of the deepest disappointments that I had felt in a long time when I was not accepted to any of the programs I applied to. And I quickly had to pivot, start the next thing, and figure out what I was going to do next. And that's when, like, my boss's encouragement, like, popped back in my head of, like, you just got to do the next thing. I just had poured so much of myself into these applications and describing my research, describing what I wanted to do with my life, what my big dream was. And immediately, I couldn't take the next step. Fast forward 2 more years, I had pivoted to go to a different university to get my master's. This is the spring of 2024 now. And I once again faced many rejections trying to do the same thing I'd just been trying to do. And it was one of those things was like, well, now I've been working on this for 2 more years in addition to the 4 years I'd put into it. We're at 6 years of work towards this big dream I have. And the disappointment was felt even greater because it was like, this is everything I planned for the fall of 2024. And now I once again have got to pivot, do the next thing, create the next thing. And so that's a scene that I think of often, even though Rosa is like not a huge character, just her comment to like, you just got to start the next thing has been an encouragement to me.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing all that. And what's your next step?
Yeah. So my next step is that I did get accepted this year, my third try. So I am moving to New Mexico in just 1 week from today to get my PhD.
So excited for you. And sad that you're moving across the country, but also so pumped. And it is in Irish literature, correct? Yes. Okay. It's amazing.
Yep.
I'm super excited.
Yeah.
So
next time we'll have to do an Irish movie, but.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, please.
What comes to mind as an Irish movie that you like?
Well, if we're keeping it in the vein of movie musicals, Sing Street.
I love that movie.
It's a movie musical.
Have you seen that movie, Justin?
No, I have not.
You would actually love
so
that
good.
Movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a really good one. I also forgot to ask, how many times have you seen this movie? / where were you the first time that you saw this movie?
Yes. So we did watch this all together last night, and that was my 7th watch of this movie. This is my most logged movie on Letterboxd by 2 watches. I think my next one is La La Land, which similar themes, actually.
Yeah.
I watched this movie for the first time the day it came out on Netflix in my dorm at college with Bailey, who's now my husband, and my younger sister, and our friend Aaron. Whoa. And I remember it very vividly because we snuck my sister's cat into my dorm. And so we had an illegal cat watching with us.
Phoebe was watching as well.
Yes. And I actually watched it the very next day again, which I don't think I've ever done. But it was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, or probably like Tuesday or Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And then I went home for Thanksgiving and made you watch it, Nick, and my sister. And mom and everyone.
That's the first time I saw it. I saw it with you and Hannah and Amelia and Angie, I think.
Yeah.
And Smalls, of course, the Shih Tzu.
Yes, exactly.
And I felt like I had seen this movie more times than I actually had. I'm pretty sure I've only seen it twice, that time and yesterday, though I'm sure I've seen bits of it in between. And also, I've heard a lot of the soundtrack because Hannah really likes the soundtrack. And so I've heard 3090 many times, many times. What about you, Justin?
What, the first time I watched it or the true? Oh, well, last night with you guys when I watched it.
And what about what resonates as true to you in this movie, Justin?
Don't we all procrastinate and get our best work done when we're procrastinating? That's at least how I feel. I need a deadline. I need a strict timeline if I'm going to do really good work and put a lot into it.
Yeah.
especially when the deadline's coming up, I'm like, all right, just wait a little bit longer and then I'll be good to go. I don't think that's how I think about it, but that's how I am as a person. And I don't even know if I'd ask you guys this. Was he procrastinating, or was he just, he had such a bad block that he just literally could not write until the last second?
I don't think they're mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
Fair.
I think it's probably both. He needed the pressure of it, but also he was so in his head about everything. I don't know if it was going to come out.
It was really stressing me out how close it was getting. And then I had a lot of questions for you guys afterwards and how it all played out when they finally got there. I was like, how is this happening? I don't understand.
For sure. Something that resonates as true to me in this movie is legacy. In the sense of the work that you do. I almost said what you create, but I think it applies to more than just quote unquote what we categorize as creative. I think it's just the work that you do sticks around. I think it's especially true when you're making a Broadway musical or some sort of piece of media that will be consumed like by lots and lots of people. But that work that you pour into it has a legacy, and you don't know how much time you have, because this movie, right, at the end of the movie, it talks about how he died right before Rent was about to premiere on Broadway, and it was a smash hit, but he never really got to see it in that way. So, that was definitely something that really stood out to me. Another thing that I really appreciate about this movie is the time frame. I really tend to like movies when they're about a real person that take a very particular point in their life. And this movie looks at a pretty short span of time. And I just really like that. I like that a lot more than like Cradle to Grave biopics. Ali is like another movie that is like about Muhammad Ali, and it just takes place in these few years of his life. And I just think you're able to hone in on themes and like who the person is or who their persona is in a way that's a lot more precise than when it's like a giant, like, this is their whole life kind of thing. Yeah. Anything else sticks out as true to you guys?
I think about, I think thinking of your idea about legacy, Nick, I think about just how he's sort of like frantic about being successful at this thing he knows he's good at.
Yeah.
And he's just trying so hard to get anyone to recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that obviously has pros and cons to it.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think just that feeling of like knowing you were made to do this one very specific thing and just wanting so badly to get it done.
Yeah, I love that. And being a professional, but being frantic. And realizing that, like, talking about time, a big thing that appears in a lot of Michael Mann movies is the phrase, time is luck. And that is this as well. Like, you, whatever time you're given, you don't know how much you have. Mm-hmm. And you've got to do with that time what something that you think is worth your time. And that's, yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. I also said the pros and cons of whatever you choose in your life, because he has his friend who has the high paying job and is he thinks is, you know, not, he kind of tells him at one point, like, you're not doing anything all that worthwhile or like that meaningful for the world.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah. You can choose that route. You can choose what he does in making meaningful work, what's meaningful for him. But there's pros and cons of that, because he's very stressed about it and it has its downfalls. On the other side, you're doing something you love and really care about.
Yeah.
And you're putting your soul into that. And then the other guy's like, I have a nice place. I enjoy my life. I, you know, have these benefits as well, even though it's not like his life's passion to be doing what he's doing. So there's both sides of the coin.
With that, his friend Michael that I really like in the movie is, I don't think the movie judges Michael for his decision. I think Jonathan does at times in a dickish way, but the movie itself is not like, wow, look at this sellout. Isn't he lame? The movie does not do that. It acknowledges, I think, his dignity just as a person, and is like, this is the choice he made, and he doesn't have to be the starving artist to be a good friend or to be a person worth, just worth looking at and caring about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I like, your life and what you choose to do with it is valuable in whatever way that looks like. It's just everyone has a different path. So,
yeah. So the the when you look, okay, I'm gonna edit this piece out. This is just stumbling a little bit. Looking throughout the movie, at the movie doesn't, I wouldn't quite say it centers on this, but just seeing AIDS popping up over and over in this movie, like late 80s, early 90s, that time period, which we were all born in the mid to late 90s. You're born
99.
Okay.
Just
making sure.
90s kid.
So like
gets that stamp.
Right. And so just like looking at that, because this was in the US still an issue, not as big of an issue as we're like growing up, but you see, I mean, you have tons of people dying of AIDS. The movie doesn't talk really, I don't think at all, about Ronald Reagan, but his administration just basically didn't acknowledge it at all, because it was mostly gay men dying. I mean, that might be a little extrapolation, but I think that's pretty fair to say, unfortunately. And so you just see this throughout, and just like the seeds planting when he's walking through and seeing like the poster with the pink triangle, and he's just seeing his friends dying and talking about writing what you know at the end of the movie, and doing like connecting your world with your art, because as much as he's poured himself into Superbia, and as much as that's obviously meaningful to him, it feels from the movie like that's more meaningful to him on a conceptual level. And this is like this thing, Rent, that he ends up making is just like his heart. And that's like, I don't know, that's really beautiful and really sad as well.
Mm.
Getting into feelings on this, like what are the primary feelings that you are feeling in this movie other than entertained?
I think I feel like joy and grief together for most of the movie.
Yeah.
It is so fun to hear all the songs, to watch Andrew Garfield just full send everything he's doing. Mm-hmm. He's so fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are highs in the story. Like he has these successes. He's so excited about the thing he's creating. And that's really joyful.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's just all undercut by grief pretty consistently as he's watching, right, the pros and cons we already talked about of like his friends dying of AIDS or his closest friend being diagnosed with AIDS. Mm-hmm. He's watching his own romantic relationship not quite hold up under the weight of his frantic creative energy and the ways that he's using it.
Yeah.
And the grief and disappointment of everything you've working toward not coming into fruition as you imagined it would.
Yeah. What about you, Justin?
I said stressed because he's stressful the whole movie, like with how he's handling his life in a way. Like, yeah. If I was in his situation, I would not be well. He was clearly not well, but. The interpersonal conflict mixed with just writing the song, trying to finish up this, this creation he's making is just like, oh my gosh, dude. Like, when do you have a second to breathe right now? Oh my goodness.
For sure. I said inspired. It's, I think, an inspiring movie in a lot of ways. Melancholic, just knowing that Jonathan Larson died really young. And then just the feeling of death is just around the corner. Like when he's singing 3090, you're like, yep. Getting like, I'm starting to get gray hairs in my face.
Ew.
Like they're just starting to, come in, and I'm like, oh boy. It's just fine. It's not, getting gray hairs doesn't really make me existential, but it is one of those little things where you're like, ooh.
Remind me 3090, because I have only seen it once. Oh, it's the very opening song. And what's it about?
He's turning 30 in 1990.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And then it ends on his birthday.
Okay.
Yep. So very end of the movie.
I thought when I keep hearing this 3090, I was like, I'm turning 30, but I'm one third of the way to 90 or something. I don't know.
I mean, kind of that too. Yeah.
And I also said joy as well, Isabel, connecting with you on that. I think Andrew Garfield brings a lot of that in this movie. Mm-hmm. And I think that he is a, like, if he's bad in this movie is not good. And he kills it. He is so good.
It's a hero ball movie. He's just like, let me put the team on my back. I'll do everything. And it works. Also, I forgot to say this last night, but his girlfriend is in Anyone But You. I was like, where is this girl from? Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Oh, and then I was like, oh, yeah.
And the Barbie movie.
Yes, I did see that.
She's a Barbie.
Yeah, a Barbie.
Anything else true for you guys? If not, that's fine.
Literally nothing else is true.
Literally nothing else. One thing that I said is during the play game, the hip hop song, when they're going through all of like the marquees and he's talking about what gets put on Broadway, the poster that just says white people arguing about marriage is so funny to me because there are so many particularly like indie movies and things that I see that I'm like, yeah, this is white people arguing about marriage. And some of them are better than others, in my opinion. But that just really hit me. That was it for that.
White people love their marriage.
They
want to talk about
they
it.
They love or arguing they about their marriage.
Yeah, they don't like their marriage. You're right.
I think they are not liking their marriage.
Yeah, they're hating it.
Marriage Story found dead in a ditch. No.
No,
Marriage Story, that's a great one.
That's the good
that's
one
what I thought
arguing
that's
about
what
marriage.
I thought about right away. I was like, I love Marriage Story. Even though it makes me feel like I'm about to die.
What's not true about this movie? What does this movie put forth that you're like, I don't love this, or I do not vibe with this?
Again, I've only seen this once. I didn't put anything down. I was like, nothing stands out.
Yeah, I think this with La La Land in my head makes the message that it's like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, you can't have your good, healthy relationship and your good, healthy dreams and aspirations.
For sure.
And I do like that this is like a realistic depiction of how you have to set priorities and prioritize each other, all that good stuff. So it might be a stretch to say that it's not true, but I do think it is a stereotype that isn't always true.
Yeah. Okay. That's facts. Yeah. I think it's well known by Nick that I love, movies that are about people who are going hard for something. And this is one of those. Yep.
Isabel as well.
even though I'm not that ambitious of a person. I mean, there are some things I like engaging with, but I don't ever resonate super hard with the people on the screen, but that is a common thing though. But now that you say that, like they have to choose the art or the thing they're going for and they can't have the relationship. And that's just common in like cultural, like TV, like The Bear.
Yeah.
That happens in The Bear. So
I did not have anything for this. I was not like, oh wow, this is really not coming off as true. I will say going off of what you said, Isabel, the like, but like, can you have your cake and eat it too? I love when they're watching the Sondheim play on PBS and Michael's like, why can't he just love her? And like, there are parts in this movie where I'm like your girlfriend just wanted you to tell her to stay. And like, that's what she says. Maybe there's a little bit more there, but like, she really is just like, I just like, he didn't make 5 minutes for her in the movie. So who knows the reality of this? But like, in the movie, he takes like no time, and he could have taken some time with the amount of time he was sitting at his computer staring at the word your. he could have found some time in there to talk to her. And then when she comes to his apartment and he's like, you could have called first. She's like, I literally did. And I watched you through your apartment window.
Yep.
And he's like, So
maybe then what's also not true is anyone feasibly breaking up with Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Because why was she doing that?
Yeah. Seriously.
Well, from the guy's point of view, I'm like, she's really hot. I don't know why he was like not running after her.
Yeah,
and, like,
for real.
Leo, let's be together. This is great. Also, I do believe her when she says, I just wanted you to say, like, don't go. He doesn't say that. He's not like fighting for it whatsoever. He's just so focused on it and keeps pushing away the decision and procrastinating on that decision.
Right.
And from her point of view, it's like, okay, well, even if you want to stay, like, do you want to even try to make something work out between us? Like, or are you just, is it just all or nothing?
Yeah. And are you going to fight for me?
Yeah.
And he's not. Yeah. Which character is the best hang? Which is the worst hang? Isabel, who's the best hang here?
Honestly, probably Michael.
Yeah. Yeah. Justin.
Oh, yeah. I said Michael. Michael. He's awesome.
He's awesome. He's so nice. Cool. He's consistent. He has a lot of the similar interests as Jonathan Larson, but he can be a real human being and, like, be kind. Yeah, I don't know. I would say honorable mention. There's something about the way that I don't even, like, watch a lot of musical theater. There's something about the way that Sondheim is in this movie that has just, like, a nice, I don't know, it just, like, kind grandpa energy. And I don't know that he actually is or was that way. Probably not. He's probably kind of a jerk, and that's probably why it was such a big deal that he was, because typically people who are at that level creatively and at that place in an industry typically, been, from what I have heard, are unkind, but the way he plays him seems nice. Did you have anything, Justin? Or did you say Michael as well?
No, I said Michael.
Okay, what about worst hang?
Jonathan.
Okay.
I also said Jonathan. I'm not trying to chill with that dude.
He's not going to listen to you.
He's not going to listen to you. All of his relationships are in shambles in this movie, so.
He'll talk about himself the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
I have.
Trying to make a song out of it when he's hugging you.
For worst hang, I had the writer across from Sondheim who was criticizing his play and then backpedaling and agreeing with everything where he's like, you know, this just doesn't make sense. I don't like it. And then Sondheim's like, no, I actually think there's a lot of strength here. And then he's like, well, of course, we're saying the same thing. And
I was going to shout out this guy.
This guy is a boot-licking little turd.
Yeah, like, who is this guy?
And we all know someone like him.
Yeah, yep, uh-huh, for sure. I honorable mention for worst hang is Scott in the apartment.
yes. What? He's just having fun.
No, he sucks. He's like, I actually hated singing. I just did it for the pussy. You're like, no.
I forgot he says that.
And then, and then I love when they sing in the apartment, and then he's like, that was awesome. It's so good.
Giving big golden retriever himbo energy
a little bit. Himbo energy.
Mm-hmm.
Any movie specific questions? Any questions you have about or adjacent to this movie? Or Jonathan Larson, or anything else surrounding it. This might be a good time to ask questions about Lin-Manuel Miranda as well.
I mean, the thing for me is that I did not know anything about Tick, Tick, Boom or Jonathan Larson before watching this movie.
And you wanted to watch it like the day it came out?
Well, you have to remember who my husband is.
Oh.
And we were dating at the time.
Okay. Bailey? I thought you were like the one like initiating all of this. So
Bailey,
this
Bailey. Log in the movies.
Well, obviously, I married the biggest theater kid of us all. So he's really excited about it. He's loved the musical a long time, and he got me really excited about it. I saw the trailer. I'm a longtime Andrew Garfield fan. I will say that as well. So me that, too. That was
Do you
also
like the Spider-Man movies?
It's the best
him?
One.
Okay.
So
good to know.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know.
Not the second one, the first one, Amazing Spider-Man.
I actually wanted to rewatch those in light of who Andrew Garfield is now to see what's going on there.
Yeah.
Actually, when we asked Bailey, he was like, Isabel isn't like, doesn't feel like a full theater kid because she was involved in so much. Like, he was like, you were into DECA and stuff like that.
I disagree with that characterization. I very much think of you as a theater kid.
What do you think?
I literally just watched you in a show like 2 weeks ago. So
okay, that was
very
a
good
unique,
job, by the way.
Thanks. That was a unique scenario. I think I'm definitely a full-blown theater kid.
Yeah, okay.
And I was most myself when I was in those spaces in high school.
I love that.
Versus, like, doing all these other things. Because I did do a lot of other things, and I didn't get into it till like, my sophomore year of high school. But I had grown up with a wonderful mom, shout out Angie, that prioritized the arts for me and my sisters. And I was just at the art museum today with her, and we were talking about all our shared memories going there, growing up. She always took us to shows, the ballet, musicals. We watched a lot of movie musicals growing up. And so I think it's just in my blood in that way. I also do study Irish plays specifically for my academic work. So.
Is Beowulf Irish or British?
It's old English. Yeah. So it's
dang.
British. It's old British.
Oh, okay, okay.
Sort of.
We'll count it, yeah.
That's like the only one I remember from college when I took literature class. I was like, you'll know.
I said, are we surprised that Lin-Manuel Miranda isn't in this movie more? Because honestly, like, I'm surprised.
I'm not surprised.
He's just in two shots.
I honestly think, yeah, he's in two shots. You see his side of his head, which I pointed it out. I don't know if other people that you obsess about it as much as me.
Yeah, you said jump scare, and I was like, what
well,
happened?
I didn't notice it at first, and then I heard his measly little voice piercing through.
I genuinely think he couldn't insert himself in any other way because it's such a small cast.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
So the play... the musical originated as like a one-man monologue that Jonathan Larson would do. Then after he died, it was expanded to a three-person show, and that's what you see in the movie. And then the movie expanded it further by they cut some songs, added some songs, obviously added more people. But when like theater companies perform it, it's usually three people.
And not to – I'm not going to say the name, but – and we could cut it out if we need to, but Bailey said that you and him went and saw a production of Tick, Tick, Boom, and it was in Indianapolis, and it was not great.
We did. We saw a college-level production of it where they did add an ensemble in addition to the three people, and I will say it made it worse.
Yeah, I was literally about to ask, did that help or hurt?
No, too much was going on.
Yeah.
I honestly think they needed it vocally to be stronger.
Okay.
Because it was pretty weak. Okay. And that is the only show that I've ever walked out of.
Dang.
Whoa.
So we left at intermission.
Do something better with your time.
Exactly. I mean, they already have my money, so.
True.
And time is money.
If James Corden were in this movie, where would that little chipmunk be? Where would he be? Isabel, where would he be?
James Corden?
You know James Corden.
Honestly,
I know. I'm just trying to picture him.
Him you, not being him up, in this musical is a win for theater kids everywhere.
Thank God.
It's like, I don't know. They were like, okay, we're not putting James Corden, so I guess we have to let Lynn show face. Like a little bit.
I'll take some Lynn face over James Corden.
I don't think he could be anyone because... Okay, and you...
it's about to get mean.
I was going to say, and you can cut this out.
Nope.
But he's married to a woman, and most of the characters are gay.
That is true.
Can he just be Scott?
Honestly, yes.
I don't know if James Corden has what you need for Scott, but
he
maybe.
He could audition for Cats in that one scene where they're like lining up because he's in Cats, the movie.
That is a good answer. Would it have been better if Andrew Garfield stripped down to a Spider-Man costume and started swinging around the city at some point in this movie?
It makes for a fun crossover. I think it'd be hilarious if like this is a crossover and at some point he's like, oh my gosh, I have to go fight this lizard thing.
He just zips out.
Yeah.
When he is just like losing it at some point, he just jumps out his window and just starts swinging. What about other musical movies that are very closely related to Broadway that you have seen? Have either of you guys seen Rent? Have you seen Rent, like, on stage?
I've never seen Rent.
Me neither.
I'm planning to go at the Can-Can with Abby.
To see
she wants
the
to, go,
movie
to see the movie
version.
Rent.
Oh, cool.
Okay. The one with Rosario Dawson?
2004. That's all I know.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I haven't seen it either. But are there any other Broadway musical... / Broadway musical adjacent movies that you have seen? Because I'm trying to like think about ones that I have seen and I
like connected to this movie or any.
No, just connected to any Broadway musical.
Okay, so I mean, In the Heights.
Yes. Okay.
With Lynn, West Side Story came out a month after this.
I have seen the original West Side Story. I have not. I've only seen parts of the second one.
Is Mamma Mia
or
yes.
the remake?
Right?
Okay, I've seen.
Oh yes.
Weirdly. I think the second one,
Justin,
randomly.
Honestly, I'm shocked. I've said this before. I'm just shocked that you don't like Mamma Mia more.
Oh,
like, I'm shocked that you don't love Mamma Mia.
Oh, I like enjoyed it. Yeah, I just am not like all about it.
Okay.
What was the other one I was gonna say? Dear Evan Hansen.
Mm. The movie?
The movie
Have
I watched.
Listen.
I've seen it. And Abby and I.
How is it, guys?
Abby's a certified theater kid. And after it, we were both like, why are people shitting on this movie? We liked it. And
Isabel.
Now Isabel thinks less of me
Isabel,
because
answer,
I said this.
Answer the question. Why are people shitting on this movie?
When I was in high school and Dear Evan Hansen had recently been on, it like recently premiered on Broadway and the soundtrack got dropped on Spotify. I was obsessed with that music. I thought it was like the deepest thing I'd ever heard, being 16 years old. And I still do really love the music. I'm not going to pretend that I don't.
Sure.
But I will never watch that movie because I think Ben Platt looks terrifying trying to be a high schooler. And I was about to say before you brought Abby into this that on behalf of all theater kids, I reject that movie. But now I can't
because now you, can't.
You guys liked it, so sorry.
Uh-huh.
Justin, what do you like about it?
It's been like 4 years. I just enjoyed it. I don't know. I have nothing to say specifically about it, but if I watched it again, who knows what I'd think this time. But I did remember liking it and looking up all these reviews and people being like tearing it apart, and I disagreed with like 90% of what people were saying. So
Justin is an Evan Hansen truther.
I am.
I will say I recently saw the tour, the Broadway tour of that show, and it was excellent in December of this past year.
How different is the show from the movie?
I don't know.
Wait,
and I won't know. I've never seen the movie.
wait, why? You just you did not want to see the movie because you heard it was so awful and you looked at Ben Platt?
I can see that it's awful from the movie poster and the trailer and the new songs they wrote for it. But also why people hate it so much is the commentary on mental health. People say it doesn't really hold up.
Yeah, that's what I was having trouble with the criticisms of it. And we don't have to go, this is a whole thing. We're in the weeds right now, but I did not agree with a lot of what was being said, but that's just me.
Okay.
And I haven't seen it, so I could be misjudging it.
I've neither seen it nor listened to it. I've heard a few songs from Hannah, but
yeah. Also Wicked.
Oh yeah,
love Wicked.
Right.
Still haven't seen it. I still need to see it.
Wicked.
Abby see it. Wicked like 500 times?
4 times in theaters. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. That's a lot of hours.
It is a lot of hours for sure. Wait, have you seen it?
I have.
Did you like it?
I did enjoy it. Wicked isn't my favorite.
Yeah.
So like, I wasn't gonna ever like fully love it. I felt like it was too long. I think it should have just been one movie.
No.
But I haven't seen the second
half It's crazy that like the play or the musical is like shorter than the first movie, right?
It's like the same length as the first
movie. It's wild.
It's insane.
And it didn't need to be.
What about, Isabel, what is your favorite role that you have played in any production? Since we have you here.
Here's the thing.
It's a theater adjacent movie.
I have only been in 4 shows counting the one I just did. I haven't been in many shows. When I was in high school, I mainly acted in the musicals and was in crew for the plays.
Okay.
So that was my first play that you just saw. I would say my favorite musical role I've played was Lady Catherine de Bourgh in Pride and Prejudice, the musical. Because it was a lot of fun.
What do you like about it?
I got to be someone so unlike anything that I am and just be obnoxious on stage. It was a lot of fun.
I love that.
She's like the villain, so.
That's so fun. Oh, yes. A favorite song. Favorite song from the movie.
The diner one. I like that one. That was fun. Sunday. Also, like, the coolest looking one when when it falls down and then the camera, like, zooms out. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like full transparency, Andrew Garfield has been in my top artists on Spotify for like legitimately 3 of the 4 years that have happened since it's come out. Or
Which,
has it just been 3? I don't know.
It's just this movie.
I think, yeah, so.
We're not 3.5 years.
I used to listen to it all the time before I got married. The album was exactly the length of the drive I would take to go from my house to Bailey's apartment, and I would listen to it all the time, also just because I love it very much.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite song is Why.
Okay.
When he sings about his childhood with Michael,
yeah,
their shared dreams, and where they're at now. It's beautiful.
It is really beautiful.
I thought the apartment one was fun.
Yeah.
When he moves into the cool apartment.
Bohemia.
Yes. Or moving on up.
Yes.
I think.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Okay. The
You're thinking
new apartment.
Of Boho Days. Yeah.
Yes, Boho Days. Okay. Yes. That one is very fun. I said 3090 just because it's the energy of it is so fun. And watching him, he I don't know how else to put it other than that he sings hard. He's singing with his whole like chest and face, and he's just killing it. I also honorable mention Sunday, the diner song. That song is hilarious. And
shout out to the Sugar song.
Oh, yeah.
The 2 second Sugar song.
Any fun facts that you guys have?
Wait.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you guys do in times of crisis? Because he went and swam.
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah, I do like the exercise route. I said I'd probably go for a walk or a run to clear my head or whatever I need to do. So I like his thinking on that. Just wanted to pose that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. I first cry.
Okay.
And then I do go for a walk or like do yoga or like move in some way, get up and out of the space to be clearer.
I run, when I'm really stressed, I'll run a hard mile and I will listen to aggressive music like Run the Jewels or Rage Against the Machine or music that I don't typically just like throw on. That's usually what I do. But yoga I do as well, and that is a really good stress reliever. Crying is sometimes a part of it. I'll give that like a maybe 5 times a year when it's really hitting and I'm just like, oh man, I got it. Between 5 and 10. I'll give myself 1 per month probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Like a not just tear up. I tear up a lot, but like actual cry, probably about once a month average. Yeah.
The swimming pool scene was just so cool to me too. It looked fun.
Yeah, it did.
Even though he's trying to figure out this song.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that that's actually how it happened? He just like rubbed away the sand. And music.
Yeah, he took some drugs beforehand, got in the pool. That's what it looks like.
If this could be directed by someone else, who would you choose?
Yeah, this is a good question for Isabel since she's like, oh, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Gross.
I mean, honestly, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier about it's like one of those things where it's like the worst person you know made a very excellent end product.
Yeah.
Because I do think it needed to be a theater kid and it needed to be a theater kid that enjoys research and writing.
Yeah.
And I'm not very good at like director names and stuff. Sure. So I honestly can't even envision someone else doing it. This might go into like some fun facts, but they did go into like Jonathan Larson's archives in the making of this movie to like add characters or flesh out characters and that kind of stuff. And I think a lot of directors enjoy research. I think they kind of have to, but I don't know many theater kids that do.
Sure.
So I'm just spitballing.
Yeah.
The director of La La Land, Damien Chazelle, what would he do with this movie?
That's who I was going to say. I don't know if he has the joy for it, but I do think the one thing he could really, and not really, because I think the movie looks good, but Damien Chazelle's visuals just blow me away. And I would have been interested to see this movie plus that. Although I think that the cinematography and like a lot of the shots in it are really cool. There are quite a few lens flares. Justin knows I like me a good lens flare.
I was too tired to notice all of those. Well, that was one of the things my brain didn't pick up.
Let me ask, we don't have to harp on this that much, but Isabel, why do people not like Lin-Manuel Miranda? Because my experience with
him. Yeah, explain this.
So my experience with him is Hamilton, which I've been exposed to a lot through like Hannah. I have come to like it. I also would show it some when I would teach social studies, parts of it. And it was a really cool, you always knew which kids were the Hamilton kids, like because some of them are just like in it. And I think it's a cool and accessible thing that gets people both into history and into theater that may not have been interested beforehand. But there's definitely like a bit of a backlash to Lin. And I have some theories, but why do you think, or why personally?
So the main thing that like really bothers me about him is that he knows he's smart and he knows that he's created things that are going to like stand the test of time in pop culture history. And
so it's his smugness.
Yeah, I think he's so full of himself and loves to hear himself talk. Like I remember when Hamilton was like really blowing up because, like most of us theater kids, I could recite every single word to the fastest raps in that musical. Mm-hmm. And he was interviewed on like all kinds of shows and talk shows, whatever. And he's always just talking about himself, which I know they're asking you about yourself, but just in an icky way. Mm-hmm. And then also personally, I don't think he's a good singer. And I think people are finally willing to say that. But when Hamilton first came out, everyone was so like taken by how brilliantly written it is, because it is brilliantly written. Like, sure. I have to give him credit. He did his research and he wrote a really good thing, but is like, did he have to star as Hamilton? Did he have to star as the lead in his musical In the Heights when that was on Broadway?
Yeah.
Like, he have to be in every movie that he's made? Like, he gave himself a whole song in the In the Heights movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, do you think he's injecting himself a little too much in this movie? Not even like on screen, but like, how is anything twisted in any way where it's like, okay, Lynn's trying to make this okay?
No, so I think when we do see that go awry is in movies like the live action Little Mermaid, which I don't know if either of you saw, but he did the music for that and wrote a new song that just sounds like a rap that could have been in Hamilton, but instead Scuttle the Seagull is singing it. Played by Awkwafina. Jump scare.
Another big jump scare.
Yeah. So I think if he had written a song to like fill some sort of narrative gap, I would have lost my mind. But because he doesn't do that, I think the only thing he might have changed is just the like music for the song from Superbia, because no one had heard that song before. Those songs were all in his archival papers, Jonathan Larson's. I don't know if he edited it or not, because I never heard it before, but if it had been more apparent other than just like him handing a plate.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I will say, undeniably, as someone who is not super into this world, like when I watch a Disney movie and it's Lynn on the soundtrack, like it's usually pretty obvious, and there are at least one or two undeniable earworms that just like loop in my brain, and oftentimes have like, it's almost too much to say it's rap, it's like fast talk singing, it's that is hip-hop adjacent but really not, and it'll just like get in there. Also, I can't think of who this person was, but it was literally, I was like sitting on the couch with Hannah and she was scrolling through TikToks and someone had made a video and they were cutting like the Bruno character from Encanto, and he was like, Lynn, you wrote this for yourself, like you so wanted to be Bruno, like when he's rapping, and he's just like, and they didn't ask you, but you definitely wrote this for you. It's like, yeah, I think you did. Anyway, okay,
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
very cool. Anything else, any other miscellaneous thoughts, any other questions, or we can move into fun facts, because there are a few.
This might play into the facts, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's fun, but this is the movie that Andrew Garfield made shortly after his mom passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the press tour where he famously said, "What is grief if not love persevering?"
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't acknowledge that, because I think it's a very beautiful thing. And
didn't that show up in a TV show, too? Someone saying that exact line?
I don't know.
Have to think about that.
I remember that, like, just little soundbite, because it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And he goes hard on his roles. One of the things I think I really like about Andrew Garfield is that he goes hard in the roles in his movies, yet he doesn't have this giant mythology built up around him like someone like I don't know, like Leo or Daniel Day-Lewis, where it's like, oh my gosh, this guy. And like even Daniel Day, where it's like, oh, do you know how method he is? And that's not the narrative around Andrew Garfield. Yet he goes, like when he was doing Silence, he was like really, like he gave at least one interview that was like, I'm feeling pretty close to Jesus right now. Like in his role was a Jesuit priest seeing people just like tortured, and like that's super intense, but like he's always wearing his characters too are always wearing their hearts on their sleeves, and I think that that's just really lovely. It doesn't feel like he half-asses anything to me.
I saw that he trained for a year to sing.
Yeah.
I think play piano as well, maybe.
Okay. I would believe it.
I don't know.
Because he's not... Is he in any, like, other musicals?
He does have a Tony for being in a play.
Okay,
but
that's cool.
He, not to my knowledge, has been in other musicals. Yeah. I think he learned to sing, like, professionally, like Justin was saying, for this role. I also think he's just, like, every movie you see him in, you're like, oh, no one else could have played that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I feel very
similar. That's a good point.
Yeah. For a fun fact, this is just... It's nothing hidden. It's just this time around and watching it when they're singing Boho Days, one of his friends is just paddling him on the ass like the whole time, just keeping beat. And I was like, "What?" He's just like, this is normal. This is normal. Okay. Like, I was like,
things are just getting crazy in there and just, you know, whatever works.
I think the amount of casualness, I was like, what is happening? And I think I said when we were watching, I'm like, is she just slapping him on the ass this whole time? And I think she is. So, yeah, it's kind of neither here nor there, but I thought it was interesting.
Well, Lin, and the great guy he is, made sure that Jonathan Larson was credited for the score by, like, I think you mentioned this. Like digging up unused music for the movie. Mm. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. There are just tons of, and this is the cool part of Lin, I think, tons of theater kids in this movie, tons of theater people in this movie. Okay, the Schuyler sisters that are in the diner, is it Angelica and Eliza?
Yep.
No Peggy? No Peggy in there?
No Peggy.
Sad. Oh, man.
Rip Peggy.
So Isabel was just spitting fun facts, like, throughout the movie, it felt like. She was like, so this scene.
Which is so obnoxious, and I'm
sorry. No, I actually like
No, I
like when I'm watching something, and people give me context as I'm watching, especially if I don't know it. Also, you said one of the guys in the diner is Hermes in Hadestown.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think every single customer in there is from a Broadway show in some capacity. And then the trio that you see, like, standing outside at one point in that song, they originated three of the roles in Rent.
Yeah.
So it pans to them for, like, a minute so that they're recognized.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's fun.
In one of the, so, like, during the song about Michael, so Lin-Manuel Miranda's elementary school teacher is handing little Michael flowers during the West Side Story part. So, like, that was his actual teacher. And I just love that. That's really beautiful.
I can also admit that's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What should you pair this movie with? Anything that you are like, okay, this would go well with this. Anything within the human experience.
I said in a similar, I don't know how to say this, but I said Whiplash because he's going hard in the drumming.
Yeah.
He's forsaking his potential girlfriend and anything in his life just to please J.K. Simmons' character in that movie.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a musical in the sense that he's working on drums. It's not like a musical movie. But yeah, thought that would pair well together.
Yeah.
Very ambitious characters that I like.
I said procrastination. If you got something you got to work on, just watch this movie instead. Just don't do it. Work on it. And then I also said a Broadway show because I've never seen a Broadway show. I would like to. Preferably, like, I wouldn't want to see, like, a Disney one necessarily.
If you had to pick one, what would you want?
Oh, gosh.
Abby and I are going to New York in September. So we're going to try and see a Broadway show. We're going to. Abby's going to make it happen.
Do you have your sights set on a certain show, or is it just... I guess it might be too early to know what's running.
Yeah, it might be a little too early. I don't think we have our sights set on anything. Abby showed me a lot of things, you know, since she's a theater kid, and I like a lot of stuff that, like, I've not gone and, like, seen live plays or musicals with her, but I've seen movies and stuff, and I like a lot of the stuff she showed me, so I will pick one of those that I've seen with her already or something else that seems cool. I don't know.
Yeah. If I had to pick one, I think I would probably pick Hadestown. But that's coming off of just having watched a production of it, which Isabel also saw. Mm-hmm. And it is, what is the like company? What is the theater?
Summerstock Stage.
Yes. So it's like high school kids from around Indiana. And we watched it at Butler during separate showings, but it was amazing. Like the kids are really great. The set was really cool. And it was just like, it was really fun to see. And it's like lots of Greek mythology in it, which is fun too. Yeah. Isabel, have you been to a Broadway show?
I have not in New York, but I have seen so many Broadway tours because it's like the closest I can get. I would love to see Hadestown in New York. Yeah. I have seen the tour twice and I just saw that show, the production of it. I think it's my favorite like contemporary musical, probably.
Sure.
Because my favorite of all time is Les Mis. So I would love to see that in New York. It's not running though. Or something new, honestly.
Yeah.
I think... going back to, like, what does this pair with? I think just seeing any live production near you.
Yeah.
Of whether it's a play or musical, because if it is done well, it will be so earnest and such, like, an outburst of creativity and just a fun time. Because no one else is going to see that, like, combination of that performance except for you and the people in the audience that you're sharing it with.
Yeah.
And especially coming off of a movie where you've just watched the creative process and learned and witnessed like the perils of the writer, but also like the joys of the writer. I think watching something like come to life on stage is just really cool.
That's a great answer. And I also think like what you said about this thing in the exact way it's happening is never going to happen again. And it's also there's no way to bottle it.
Yeah.
If it's filmed, it's not the same. Like, and I think that that's really cool. And that's something that I've gotten a lot more appreciation from, like, just knowing you and Bailey, frankly, and just being around, yeah, you guys and seeing you guys act, but then also seeing other live shows through them and, like, Hannah's interest in watching shows and helping out with some shows in the past and stuff. Like, that's just been really cool, and I've gotten a lot more appreciation. Because I used to, I think, in my head, have this really pretentious, stupid idea of, like, movies make theater obsolete, which is not true at all. That's a terrible take. So, yeah, thank you for that. And I think that that's a really beautiful answer. Justin, you got anything else?
Yeah, well, no. No, that's it.
Amazing.
I mean, we have, are we just doing quote tennis?
Yeah. Do you have any quotes?
Well, of course I have quotes.
Amazing. All right. So, Isabel,
are you reading these from your head?
Oh, well,
you've just
got
them like, amazing. Wow, I'm impressed.
This is a true theater kid. Like, I have these lines memorized.
All right.
Again, I've listened to this soundtrack too many times and have seen the movie 7 times. So.
All right. Let's hear it.
I'm going to start us with a really strong one.
Great.
Where Jonathan Larson screams at his party, "I'm the future of musical theater, Scott."
Yep. I had that one. We're going to live in a log cabin. We're going to hunt acorns. We're going to gather squirrels.
I've been telling you how unhappy I am for months. Everyone's unhappy in New York. That's what New York is.
Are you letting yourself be led by fear or by love?
I love that one. She fell in love with modern dance. Every parent's dream.
Everything you are about to see is true, except for the parts Jonathan made up.
Can I make a mark if I give up my spark?
Oh, so beautiful.
What is the point of money if you don't spend it on the people you love?
Bo, 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 bo.
That's all I got.
I said, why should we try to be our best when we can just get by and still gain?
That's great.
I feel like every question he poses in that song is like so beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, that's all I got. Anything from you guys?
I don't think so. Go watch it.
Yeah, watch it. If you've not seen it and you're listening to this, it'd be interesting, but go watch it.
Also,
or just watch it again.
Campaign for Andrew Garfield's EGOT starts here, right now, today. He has a Tony.
Okay.
He has a Golden Globe, which will allow to stand in for the G for today's purposes.
Okay.
He's been nominated twice for an Oscar for Hacksaw Ridge and for Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh, amazing. Okay, did not know
Did
that.
Not win.
Yep.
Emmy nominated for Under the Banner of Heaven, also did not win.
Have you seen Under the Banner of Heaven?
I have. It's very excellent.
Okay. I need to give it a watch. I'm a lot more open to a miniseries.
We need more support. Show. Let's get him going.
Yeah, really.
EGOT on the way. Loading.
All right. Amazing.
Thank you all for listening to Show Me the Movies and our discussion on Tick, Tick, Boom. Email us at themoviesshowme@gmail.com with any questions or comments. And remember to follow us on Blue Sky and Instagram. We'll see you next time.
And always remember, the first presentation of your musical is like having a colonoscopy in the middle of Times Square.